right. It's going to be a good day. Welcome to Lead with Heart on Now Media TV. I am your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. I am here at the spectacular Hotel 360 in Ojochao, Costa Rica. So let's go check it out. Some of the most unique architecture you're going to see. This is where the rains drip down and create a nice atmosphere. So like work with nature.
Boutique hotel where we got 12 rooms, private. So we can connect to the mountain and the beach at the same time. Because you can see we got an amazing view from here.
Come on, we're going to check out one of these spectacular rooms. Incredible. The bed is super nice. However, I am called right away to check out here. Absolutely incredible.
Nature, peaceful, quiet. Animals, quiet.
It's called Hotel 360 because of the amazing panoramic
right.
view, which,
yeah. Exactly. So I want you to go over here where you can look at it a little better, the view.
Yeah.
So we got Caño Island deeper over here. And Corcovado, those are two national parks when you can find a lot of different animals.
And yeah, this pool is just spectacular. It goes all the way wrapping around.
That's the restaurant. We got the bar here. We got our waitress, Sofia, over there.
Hola. Well, thank you so much, Steven. Awesome
thank
tour. Thanks for letting us be here today. So this is the tour of Hotel 360. And I chose to shoot here today, not because just it is so beautiful. And obviously, that's beautiful to share that and look at the amazing nature of Costa Rica. As a psychologist and a retreat facilitator, I know that the set and setting matter. This open ambiance, this beautiful nature, this setting, this space is going to help them open up even deeper and find even deeper parts of their authenticity so we can all keep leading with heart. So stay tuned for more here on Now Media TV with Lead with Heart. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen. Pura Vida. Welcome to Lead with Heart. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and today we explore the essence of leadership beyond strategy and status. You're watching Now Media Television. Hello and welcome to Lead with Heart, the show where passion and purpose blend, where we look at strategy and soul and the alchemy of becoming. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen, and joining me today is Isabel Gold. Isabel is a transformational guide, writer, and retreat facilitator devoted to turning shadows into gold. She's passionate about bringing intuition into the corporate world. And through her work with embodiment, ritual, and emotional alchemy, Isabel creates spaces for women to reclaim their pleasure, their power, and their truth. Welcome, Isabel. I'm so happy you're here. Thanks for showing up to life and to the show.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So, as I said there, passion and purpose, strategy and soul, the whole idea of the show is to look at successful entrepreneurs like yourself, and learn more about their humanness and learn about, okay, this is great. Your IG looks great. Your brand is awesome. But like, how did you get here? Right? So this first segment is really about diving into your past, and I'm open to going wherever you're comfortable going. We're both in the healer world, so we know that developmental psychology and things that happen earlier in life influence and impact how we do now. So what are you willing to share with us about who you were and how that was for you?
Yeah, I'm willing to go to the places because I feel like it's the only way that I can be seen, right? That I can see you if we're truly honest. So, yeah.
And we practice what we preach.
We practice what we preach. All the shadows are here and all my light is here. But what I want to share is it's been a journey. It's been a wild life. And I'm grateful for every contraction and every encounter that I've had to sit here today and be really happy with who I am. But where shall we start? Where do you want to start?
I mean, you know, the beginning, like the window we have here is not every detail, but mm-hmm. childhood, what were the dynamics? What were the roles that you got put into as a kid? How do they impact you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, yeah.
Yeah. Little Isabel, was one that was very sensitive. And I remember seeing and I remember knowing that I could heal myself with my mind, or I would even practice on other people. And I grew up with a mom who was always sick. She was very sad most of my life. Still is struggling with some depression. Love her dearly. And she was a great mirror for me, you know, to see how she she really gave her life to us, even though she wasn't living her life. And so I grew up...
You and siblings?
And my brother, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I grew up seeing that, living with a woman who was just, you know, in the kitchen doing the thing, very much hiding her lights and her gifts because she has so many. And I grew up seeing that, and having so much inside of me, you know, like imagination. And I remember projecting into the future and knowing, oh, that's not what I want. And I'd go into my mind and erase it and then see it play out.
Okay.
And it was so powerful.
See it play out as what you wish it were.
Yeah. Like the manifestation of what I believed was true, my desire, would then play out. And I don't know where I lost that ability. Somewhere, I think, in my teenager years. My dad was very absent, so I started looking outside of myself, you know. Started partying. A lot of attention to boys and men, and just really placing everything that is me outside of myself.
On them, yeah. You're finding your value through them and making up for absent dad. Maybe.
Yeah. And the shields that I created, right, protected me from being the intuitive that I remember being when I was little.
Right.
Because it was so much to take in.
And that's probably how you lost it, right? Was having to build those shields. We can't selectively numb. So there went those gifts.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then so dad more or less absent, mom not doing well physically, I'm guessing you then had to like step up a lot and almost, you know, be more an adult young, or how did you deal with it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Just always being attuned to the fields. Is this going to upset? Is this safe? You know, I'll dive into the deep stuff as we are going, you know, later in my healing journey, I discovered there was some sexual abuse that happened, with it when I was very little, that made me really protect, and nothing was safe, you know. The world wasn't safe, the humans weren't safe, and so I remember just going through life being very anxious and controlling, like very controlling.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, sucks that happened, and sadly it's all too common, and so grieve, have compassion, and I know you're moving through it. Did you even know, like back then, were you, like, as you were seeing yourself anxious or shielded off, did you know what had happened at that age? Or was this something?
No. It was later in life through various practices that I remembered and actually had to really claim it, because it wasn't, I still don't fully know what happened, but I've had to come to a place where I had to trust my body and what was coming up in these somatic practices and working with several plants and hypnosis, that I had to really trust. And it was in that moment when I was like, this really happened. That I reclaimed my truth and my power. And it's a gift now to me. Like, I'm actually grateful I know it sounds crazy, but I believe that I signed that contract and coming into this life saying, I'm going to reclaim my full power in this lifetime and my voice and my truth.
And that only makes you a more powerful person, woman, and healer.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for the vulnerability. I know that's super sensitive stuff. And also, it just reminds me of, for our viewers, I know, like, implicit versus explicit memory. Implicit memory is what we don't really know we don't know. And explicit memory is what we think we know, or what we would say we remember. And so I just wanted to name, like, as in my own healing journey, as well as holding space for so many people, like, that is such a common theme, where a person knows something's off but doesn't know why, and then they recover some memories but not the full memory, and there's this whole doubting process, and, well, I don't know, and how could it have been? But at the end of the day, this is what I believe, both in my own lived experience as well as what my neuropsychology degree teaches me, is that what matters is how your body remembers it. And so to give that credit or give that wisdom and just trust that, like, I respect that in you so much, because it's so much easier to loop around in our head and try to convince ourselves it didn't happen or it happened this way.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to hear that, Isabel. And so, okay, you're painting a picture for us of a young girl who had not a great dad there, awesome, loving mom, but not really in her power. She wasn't role modeling that to you. So take us a little more forward. And I don't know if it's teenage years, early 20s. How did you start to find yourself in all of that and get on this path of making gold?
Yeah, it was when I was 25. I grew up in Belgium, in Europe. And I met this beautiful American man. And, you know, I had this vision of, oh my gosh, I'm going to move and we're going to start a family. You know, at that point, I was very disconnected from really, truly my wild self. And so I did. I moved to the U.S., got married, and really adapted myself to his lifestyle and his family's lifestyle. And just blended in. I just recently told a friend, I was like, he didn't change. Like, I can't blame him, which I did for a long time was, yeah. You know, the victim. I was a victim and he did this and he did that. And I changed.
Yeah. You not just changed, but it sounds like you gave up.
I gave it all up. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And why was it like? Why were you willing to do that?
To feel safe, yeah. And to be held and to, you know, like, find the fodder that was safe. And if I'm just a good girl and if I walk in line, then I'm safe and I'm not going to be abandoned.
Yeah. And the reason, yeah, right? Because of everything else you just shared, you were susceptible to that, vulnerable mm-hmm. to that. Okay.
Yeah,
so that was a major life shift. And mm-hmm. at the moment, I'm assuming it felt okay, or like the illusion of safety was there.
Oh, it was so safe.
Right. Yeah.
It was safe until I became a mom. And then my whole being erupted. You know, we go through such a rebirth when we become a mother. Whew. And yeah, I remember being in the hospital and holding my baby and just being overwhelmed with so many emotions. And I can look back at her and see how little self-love she had. And then yet I was here holding my baby, and the amount of love that I was experiencing, I couldn't place it. And so my OCD and my control became even stronger.
To be a great mom, perfect mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything needed to be freshly made, organic, no dirt, like, perfect clothes, like, just if I can hold up this perfect picture,
I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm. And he'll be happy and my child will be happy.
Wow. Very deep, very powerful learning lesson there, right? I mean, also mm-hmm. for our viewers to know, right? I mean, that's something I've seen thousands of times, of like that need for control, that need for perfectionism is almost mm-hmm. always, if not always, hiding something, a lack of safety, a lack of feeling mm-hmm. belonging, connected, right?
So, very much.
So this was part of what started to root you into who you were. Tell me as we get into this, just a little more of like, yeah, when do you start to awaken? When do you start to see your blinders?
Yeah, I remember doing things and say, oh, this is what my mom did. And I always said I wouldn't do this.
So you use your mom as mirror.
Yes. Yeah. And I would see myself do it again, and I would nag, and I would control, and I would have anger. And in that moment, there was a lot of moments where I actually sat in prayer. I grew up in the Catholic Church and became atheist. And there was this, like, on my knees being like, if there's something out there, please help me. And that's when the modalities started coming in. The first one was hypnotherapy. I saw a hypnotherapist.
So I want to slow down that just to say, because you hit another mm-hmm. amazing topic, which is prayer, which is also fits under the mm-hmm. umbrella of faith. And mm-hmm. that is something not only in my therapeutic role, but even on the show, it comes up so much of like, what helps you transform and the power of faith, right? And I actually believe that it doesn't actually matter which religious or spiritual deity, entity, book, whatever. What matters is the human has faith and we can make some transformation happen. So when we get back from this break, we're going to learn more about mm-hmm. who you're becoming and how you use that art of prayer to help you continue to awaken. So stay tuned, guys. We'll be back here on Lead with Heart on Now Media TV. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer, and on Lead with Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead with Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose. Welcome back to Lead with Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen, and I just want to take a moment to remind you guys that you can stay connected with me, Lead with Heart, and all the other great Now Media shows by simply downloading our app on Apple TV, Roku, iOS, and Android. If you like podcasts, we're all over the podcast formats as well. So check us out. Stay connected to Now Media TV. Thanks so much for joining us. We're coming back here with Isabel Gold, transmuting shadows into gold. I love that saying. So you've brought us to a point in your story now where there's some shadows to work with. You've recreated a new version of safety, but it's not really that safe. So pick us up from here. Yeah. How does this go and guide us towards, you know, your stepping into the roles you're in today?
Yeah. Diving into the practices and really following the cues. You know, I sat in prayer and I can say God again, because I got back from, you know, I couldn't use that name for a long time. And now I really feel God within my system. And I prayed and God responded and sent me all the modalities and the people on my path to dive in and remember who I am.
Mm-hmm. And the theme with our show here of Leading with Heart, I'm assuming these modalities, you so far mentioned hypnotherapy, but I know too in my own path, like the somatic work, the more embodied work. So this is what's happening now in your journey, is that you're not just reacting from the childhood stuff. You're starting to go deeper inwards to the body. So yeah, say more about that, particularly the body part, you know?
The body part, you know, like remembering that we have these senses, and when we're able to feel, it's been a lot of feeling. And, you know, all the feelings that I stored in my body when I was little that I couldn't express, or the dreams and the desires, to now be able to sit with them and go into them and dance with them and scream and really express. Coming into the body, express, has been such a beautiful awakening. Of I often wake up and I'm like, holy shit, this is it. Wow, I'm here. And like, what a trip.
Yeah, and where you've been, right? And where you've come from in this.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, when you said, you know, scream, anything, and I sort of said the word express, it just reminded me of, you know, I didn't realize this after years of being a psychologist and studying the DSM and all that stuff, but the word depression, can you press a button, Jesse? Sure, I'll press it. Can you depress the button?
Yeah.
And how long do I just keep pressing is depress? And so even that word depression, that's what's happening to so many of us because of culture, churches, families, whatever. We go through our childhood and sometimes even adulthood where we're just suppressing or depressing these things. And what I was appreciating in your share is just like, just seeing the magic of expression. Doesn't have to be right. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to get moving and get out, right? Do you agree? Is that how it's been for you?
Oh, yeah. Like, and the journey is still going. You know, once I got into my body, it was like, well, now are you going to live in your truth, right? And my truth was not to stay where I was in the marriage or live in the town that I was in that was not the frequency that I was becoming.
No more false safety.
No more false safety. And I completely got ripped out of the safety, and to fall into a place of, wow, I can feel in my body, this is true and this is not true. And the more I was following it, the easier the truth just comes on the path. Like, even with building my business, I don't advertise. I don't really force anything. This feminine flow that I return to is, I get invited.
So and moves you down the river, right?
Yeah.
The flow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So you agree with me that, yeah, definitely the power of expression, and then it just opens up something, right? And it opens up a magnetism. It opens up authenticity.
Yes.
So help me understand now. So, okay, you're what, probably late 30s? I mean, late 20s coming out of this marriage, or?
I left the marriage at 33.
Okay, early 30s.
Yes.
Interesting number, mm-hmm. Christ frequency.
Yeah.
And so is that the point in your career where you started to become more of a leader in this field, or? Yeah, or
I had to, because I was a stay-at-home mom and I was very disconnected from my purpose. I mean, I was studying all these modalities and really going in all of it because of my own healing. And then I knew I had to leave. You know, at that point, I had cheated on my husband and I knew, you know,
that
Isabel, this is like not your values and this is the end. And so I had to, I left with a lot of fear because I was far away from my family. I was in scarcity, afraid on how to make it work in Los Angeles. And
in LA of all places,
in LA,
it's a pretty big.
But it was
city.
God saying, let's get out of your comfort zone because you were really taken care of. And now this is going to make you put yourself out there. And that's when it all started.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. No, I love that too. Of just like, yeah, the perception or the lack of safety there, younger years equaling what you create in your marriage, mm-hmm. and now you're like free falling without a net, right?
Yes.
And yet, is it fair to say because of that connection to God or yourself or whatever it was, I don't know, right away, but it brought you to a new understanding of safety,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
grounding?
Because the funny thing is I was cared for still after the marriage, but I didn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in a total state of lack for so long, and I would be like, but I am safe, but I wasn't really.
Wow.
So it was this whole alchemy of, you know, what are you still holding on to? And in that moment, you know, I had to let go of that safety net as well through the court system and like going into quite the battle with him.
Wow.
And looking back at it, I'm like, wow, thank you for inviting me to let go.
Mm, giving me that opportunity.
The opportunity to trust that I'm cared for on like the deepest level there is.
Between yourself and creator.
And the creator, yeah. Because I am cared for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So help me now too. I want to kind of try to bring everyone to more present moment or like recent years. So you start to do this healing work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can relate to that. I think a lot of us healers have that story where it's like, yeah, I got into this because I needed it myself and I loved it so much. I decided I wanted to share it with others. Right. Is that more or less
mm-hmm.
your story?
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
so then, yeah, paint a little bit more of a clear brushstrokes of that, of like, what does that look like in LA? Are you starting off right away as a private practice hypnotherapist? Are you doing online gigs? I don't know, you know, what?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just happened. I had to practice to get my certificates and I would do hypnotherapy sessions with clients. And then from there, I was seeing their energy and what was living in the body. And that led me to becoming a Reiki master teacher. And then I would practice on other people and they would love it and come back. And then you start noticing the exchange of, well, I'm giving you a lot. Now I have to charge you. And it kind of grew organically.
Okay.
I truly feel like you create a field, you create your own medicine, and then people see that frequency and they're like, hey, I want what you have. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Whatever modality it is that you serve.
Exactly. Yeah. What matters most is that we're walking the talk and like living in our own bodies.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how did you get, tell me where the corporate work fits into all of this? Like you got welcomed into that as well, or?
Yeah, that came through actually an experience in a corporate environment where I really wanted to show myself and I was still in a place where I needed to be seen and it was clashing. And to then have to pull out of that space and sit with myself and be like, what really happened there? And dive into, oh, I still don't feel seen for the wisdom that I hold and the seer that I am. And the moment that I did that work to myself, the invitations came in And I was invited into these spaces, businesses that want to sell, leaders that want to drop into the heart space, that are desperate, because we're in a big change of, you know, going from the ego into the heart. And again, it was just making the shift within myself to seeing myself as that.
And that then it came
as an invitation from many angles.
No, I'm so happy you're doing that work, because obviously I invited you onto this because I see you as a leader in terms of just the, how you show up in the world, as well as holding space for leaders that's still leading. And I'm so glad you're holding that space for corporate, because everywhere we all need it, but really in the corporate world is where we need it so much, of just more heart. It's so easy to get lost into the head. It's so easy to get lost into the systems and the revenues and, you know, profit gain and all that. So I'm curious if you can tell us, just in a brief nutshell quickly, is like, what does that look like? How are you getting these people to find their heart?
Well, the main person that I'm working with, he invited me in because I had done work with his daughters. And so that created the trust. And so he was like, well, now I want to get into manifestation with my business, but I know Isabel, she's a little out there, but wow, I've seen what my daughters have done with her. And so the invitation comes, and what we do is we it's an energetic field in the business. And when you have an intuitive that can step into it and can feel where there's dissonance in a gentle way of inviting, hey, are you in your truth? Are you in your body? Step into it. And then the field of the entire company starts being coherent, and then there's flow, and then the revenue is just a side effect.
The revenue, the positive business changes are a side effect from them getting their hearts in alignment. And so you're basically coming in as a seer, as a visionary, and helping them to see where their blind spots are. And
That's working with the individual and then weaving the fields. With the inner child, you know, if you have a leader who still has a very stubborn inner child, it trickles down and they attract.
And not even just stubborn, but any type of way that the leader's not connected to their inner child, right? So I think inner child work and all this parts work is so important to how we alchemize. So when we get back from our break, we're going to look deeper at the actual process of alchemy and growing lotuses. So stay tuned here on Lead With Heart.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead With Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead With Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead With Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead With Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose.
Hello, and welcome back to Lead With Heart. In this segment, we're going to dive deeper into the actual process of alchemy, of understanding how to be a lotus, how to grow like a lotus, how to take something that is less than ideal and turn it into something beautiful. So we're turning back to Isabel Golds. And you are, I would consider, definitely a leader in alchemy, a mastress in alchemy. So in this segment, both from what you've seen in your work with people, as well as your own personal journey, I'm hoping we could dive a little deeper into the juicy details of how do you actually, you know, heal, for example, like sexual assault or abandonment wounds at that young age. And, you know, just, I don't know, anything you're open to sharing about how you understand the healing process.
Yeah. Listening to the body is really starting to listen to the body. I work with people who have severe health issues, who have issues in their relationships, I strongly believe that everything's a mirror, and whatever is happening to us is a scream to go into the alchemical process, you know, whether that is discomfort with a family member or in your relationships or your health. And so really looking at it all as opportunities to go in and dive into the process. And a lot of people are afraid to go in because we weren't shown when we were little, you know, our parents didn't know, they didn't have access to all of this. It's not in schools, like, right?
That's a whole other outside talk. The box, right? Yeah, it's another topic. You have to go outside the box to awaken these days.
Yeah. And so to learn to be with these aches and these signals to then go in and explore and find that actually when you allow the surrender and the letting go, that it's such a beautiful process. And on the other side, you're alive. Like you, there's life and there's wisdom and clarity and you come out, you know. And I'm still in my processes and they come up, and I just have learned that when I'm in it, I know I come out the other end, and it's wild. Cause then the manifestations happen, or there's more desires that come up. There's beautiful people that flow in because your dreams are on the other side of the process.
All right. Yeah. Brené Brown. Hope most people know her name now, but yeah, her work on vulnerability and one of her great quotes is, you know, we can't selectively numb. And so it's like, if we're depressing and keeping all this out, then underneath it is also the joy and all the pleasure and desires that get suppressed. In the nerdy neuroscience world, we call it sequencing. I'm not sure if you know it by this name, but I think you know the process. Mm-hmm. You said scream earlier. It's the idea that, yeah, we all have this somewhere suppressed emotion, whether it's from physical sexual assaults or whether it's from developmental trauma, just like being told that we should be seen and not heard, or, you know, being neglected or emotionally not attuned to, whatever the reason is, we all have some kind of trauma where we start to suppress things. And it doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It doesn't just happen as a woo woo poof ball. It's actually happening at a neuromuscular level. Like it takes muscular contraction in order to suppress emotions. Mm-hmm. Have we ever been mad and we're like, we go, I'm not going to say that because it would be mean, but I'm going to, and we have to forcefully contract. And so I want to highlight that because I hear that in your share, but also for our viewers, just understand that the concept called sequencing, as well as to understand that this impacts all of us, you know, whether we are officially a leader or not, we all have that. And so I guess I want to know, like, just professionally, does that resonate? And B, yeah, have you seen that show up in your journey, in others you've worked with, like what actually sequencing is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I very much am drawn to talk about, you know, speaking your truth, because I work a lot with women. Is we have all these ailments that we carry or in our wombs, right? All the female issues that we're struggling with in our society, to actually feel into them. Or like with the throat, I know when I'm hurting, when my neck hurts, my shoulders hurt, I have something to say that needs to come out.
It's not getting out.
And
yet,
it's taking a lot of energy to hold it in. I become tired. Everything starts hurting. And when I find the safety within myself and the tools through beautiful practitioners, when I say the thing that I have to say, I'm like, why did I not say it anytime sooner?
And how does your body respond?
My body is like, yes, thank you.
And the pain goes away.
It's like the inner child that says, thank you for speaking up for me, finally, because I wasn't able to do that when I was younger. I was silenced, and now you're doing that for me. So you create this deep trust within your own being that you got yourself.
Mm-hmm. And this would be earned, secure attachment.
Yes.
Right? It comes not from finding finally the right partner who doesn't cheat on you or doesn't mess you up. It's actually from the current adult self learning how to connect with the inner child. And inner child is not limited to 0 to 9. It's like any younger version of us, right? Now, I'm so glad you brought that up, Isabel. I think that is such an important piece of understanding the process of the lotus, is that learning how to be there for ourselves and to provide the missing experience that got left out earlier in life, usually childhood, but whatever other arenas. So, no, I love that. And I've seen that time and time again with when a person is able to not only just like admit they have an inner child or think about it or imagine it. Those are all great steps, but the real breakthrough is exactly what you just said. It's when I finally get enough emotional intelligence built that as the adult self, I can be there for that little one, even when someone else is being mean to them in my adult life, right? Yeah. So.
And you're going to have to talk to him many times, right? Like, it's like sitting with yourself over and over and knowing that you're not abandoning yourself. And I want to also mention that the fun side effect of that is that all of a sudden you're being heard.
Mm.
Because you're hearing yourself, then the whole outside world seems to rearrange itself. Like I have clients who then say, Isabel, my boss changed. Or like, my partner, something changed. And it's like, yeah, because yeah, you're actually...
It was you that changed.
He was hearing you the whole time.
Yeah.
But now you can actually receive that.
Wow.
And the whole field rearranged and it's magic. Yeah. It's literally magic.
Yeah. No, it really is. I've seen that same thing so many times where in indirect healing, I guess you could call it, but it's like someone's doing the work, but all of a sudden feels like their husband or whoever is doing better. And maybe they are, but it's also like, no, it's how you're showing up because you're now here for yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also wondering with the whole sequencing topic, what, you know, so you mentioned like speaking, what have you seen either in your own work or other work around, like, I would just call it more like gross neuromuscular movement. And I don't mean gross as in disgusting. I mean gross as in like larger. Have you witnessed that at all? Or like, I'll give it, I'm leaning in towards, like you mentioned, you know, you were so vulnerable to acknowledge some experiences of sexual assault. And for whatever it's worth, I'm comfortable being vulnerable. I actually have sexual assault in my background as well. And obviously it's not a fun thing to go through at all. And yet I know from moving through it on my own that it is so healing to claim your power back. And one of the things that I had to go through to really clear that was because of what happened to me and I was suppressed and violated, there was so much anger inside. But in the moment, I was frozen. I was shocked and frozen. And so in my healing process, I had to sequence all of that anger. And blessed, I had beautiful practitioners as well, but gave me a safe space to really let that out through, you know, some of it was yelling, some of it was hitting cushions. But I guess that's what I mean. And like, I feel like that's the piece where people don't want to do it because it's weird. It can be seen as ugly. It's definitely not taught in clinical psychology school. It's not taught in hardly anything, but it is part of ancient wisdom. It's like what our ancestors knew is that they would create spaces for us to just let loose and let go and let be what is inside just to let it come out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm just curious, does that make sense to you? What have you seen?
Yeah, for me, it was working with my sexual energy and the shame around it and the expression of it. You know, our sexual energy is our life force energy. And in our society, that sexual energy is a big taboo, right? And so my shadows were also anger, shame, like dark feminine manipulation through sexual energy that I really had to look at, where I was... seductress, you know, and working with that and really allowing myself to sit in practices, working with that sexual energy and allowing it in and learning how powerful it is and that it actually makes us feel alive and is our manifestation tool and coming out and be able to speak my needs and express not just in the bedroom, but in life and feel turned on to life, really. But I had to go into the basement and be like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you?
Yeah. Never mind what happened to you back then. Yes. That's important. Mm-hmm. But right now, like, let's look at how you're carrying it forward through shadows, right? Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for doing that work. It's not easy. I know.
But it becomes fun. I have found a place and I think that's what I love about the spaces that I hold is we have fun with it.
Yeah.
Once we like learn the safety and the practices become really fun.
I resonate with that as well. Yeah. I too have built algorithms and ways of guiding people that it actually you know, they won't always admit it's fun in the moment, but they can say, okay, wow, this is so different, and a different approach and a different way of getting to that content. So I'm glad to hear you have that portal as well. Wow. Yeah. No, there's so much in here, Isabella. I want to just quickly reflect on the notion of what I heard from you was, you know, the power of learning how to grow your lotuses came partly from, yes, sequencing and letting out some trapped energy, mm-hmm. came out from just being open and being seen and letting, like, not hiding from it anymore, accepting and listening to your body, right? Listening, like, something felt off, and then rather than think my way out of it, I want to honor that. And so, and then obviously the powerful part of, you know, doing that work to look at your own, in this case, sexual shadow, but whatever our trauma is, it creates some kind of shadow. So it's powerful to realize, wow, this thing was done to me that was wrong or violating, and now this is how I'm accidentally carrying it forward in a sideways way. So I appreciate you owning all that. And there's so much beauty in what you're sharing. And in our last segment, when we come back from this break, we're going to extract even more wisdom out of Isabel's vulnerabilities and her life journey. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on Lead with Heart.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead with Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead with Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose.
All right, we are here on Lead with Heart, your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen, reminding you guys to stay connected to myself and all the great Now Media shows on the app, easily downloadable from Apple TV, Roku, iOS, and Android. You can also find us across all the major platform streaming podcasts. So please keep connected, stay tuned. And as we bring this episode to a closure in this final segment with Isabel Gold, thank you for being here. We are going to be extracting the harvest. We are going to be looking at the wisdom that's coming out of this conversation and out of Isabel's life journey. So let's see what we got cooking here. Isabel, you've brought forth so much vulnerability. You've brought through so much power already. I would love to hear from you now, just furthering into where you are with really what you're doing now. What are you dreaming awake? What do you want to see come next in your life? And weave into that any wisdom that you know you're walking with now.
You know? This feeling that I have distilled of feeling the lotus inside, I would love every woman on the planet to be able to feel that and like to be alive and to really see each other, and the men as well, you know. I have a deep passion to bringing this feeling into humanity, and there's a lot of work to do, so
yeah. I love the wish.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a vision yet of fruition of that? Like, is there a book coming? Is there other projects? Are you just steadily working with people individually? Like, what does that look like for you now?
Yeah, currently I'm writing a book.
Okay.
Cool. It's also a transformational process for me that I'm in. So we'll see how long that takes. But I'm currently in one-on-one containers with my clients. Retreats are coming. I have an evergreen course that is online on my website.
Evergreen?
Yeah. It's on there, video for women to dive into the womb and the wisdom of their womb and really allowing and playing with that sexual and sensual energy, turning your intuition on. And I want to create a lot of content. I'm having a lot of fun doing this and just being me and talking about it, creating community around it as well. I've been on a journey in the last 6 months myself of going different places in the world and bringing my medicine there and feeling community. And
wow.
It's such potent medicine. So I'm really excited about that as well. lots of different things. I'm a manifesting generator, so I'm doing retreats, one-on-one work, working on community, and then having fun.
Beautiful. Yeah, no, it's like live the work, right? Walk the talk and embody it. And I love that. I feel like that's such a powerful piece of wisdom to pull out of the share, is that, you know, we can get 10 more degrees, but that's not going to help us as much as actually doing the work. I definitely admit I'm so grateful I got my PhD. I'm grateful that I did all that training because it's given me structure. It's given me understanding. But at this point, I know I don't need more of that. I want to do very similar to what you're doing. You know, I want to just like be myself and enjoy doing the work and watch how vulnerability begets vulnerability. And I have this other saying that when anyone works, we all work. And so, and especially I see that in the retreat formats that I run, where it's just like, wow, this person was so shut down, but because Bobby opened up and talked about this, all of a sudden now that person who shut down is ready to open. So I'm hopeful that even our conversation today is going to inspire people to look deeper, to do more inner work on themselves. And another saying I love is, you know, to know thyself and you will lead with heart naturally, right? It's just the natural byproduct. You're going to come out of the gates leading with heart. And another piece I feel with the heartship leadership is not, you know, it's tempting as a leader, you get given power, you get given a pedestal. Usually it's tempting to just let it go to your head and be very ego driven. And I do my best to practice it and coach others on is like true leadership is, you know, the wolf pack, the alpha wolf leads from the back. It's, you think it's that front wolf, but no, it's actually the back one who can see everything and is holding space to make sure no one gets left behind. Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Did you want to say something to that or no?
Yeah, I feel like for me, what I've noticed with women in this field is when I am in my full expression, they have the invitation to do the same thing. And it's very attractive. Yeah. You know, and it can be triggering at first, but yeah. You know, the trigger is the medicine.
Yeah.
And it's that invitation to be in softness with it and call in truth and have the conversations that are so transformative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hopefully not just the conversations, but the, you know, in-person experiences, the movements together, that, you know, the ways of connecting beyond just even that talking, right, is a lot of where I see the deep transformation mm-hmm. going. And I wonder too, for you, with you say that the new book is coming, the different, you want to keep doing podcasts and all that. What do you see, or what wisdom would you have for, especially, let's say, female viewers out there that can relate to what you're going through one way, or maybe what you've gone through? What wisdom would you have for them, or want them to, how do you help them manifest that wish you have to feel the joy, to feel the lotuses blossoming?
Ooh, yeah, really dropping into your body, and a good practice that I have is to dance with what comes up. Yeah. And pray for the right practitioner to help you. Find someone that you get triggered by. Because if you're triggered by my light and everything that I am here, I am a reflection for you, and you have the same thing inside of you. So be in communication with the fields. I like to look at it as a game. Everything's a game to me, and it's like, oh, I was sent to this person to trigger this part within me. And then I heal that and I can go to the next level of becoming me. And the journey never ends.
Yeah. Mirror neurons, right? Like to be able to like have this reflective back of either I've triggered you because there's something in me that you need to work on, and or I inspire you. I'm like, I love the reminder of the difference between jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
Jealousy is malice. Jealousy is like, you've got something and I want it, and envy is like, wow, you've got something that I love, and like, how teach me how to get that, you know, show me how. And it feels like, yeah, that's part of your wish, is like, it's okay to have envy of this, and here's the path to create it for yourself, right? Even though each person's path will be slightly different and unique to their own stories and childhood, this algorithm that you're putting forward of like listening to the body, honoring yourself, speaking your truth, finding the place that feels right for you. You know, when you keep saying find that practitioner, I also hear where it's like, you got to attune to yourself. You got to trust that you know what you need more than anyone, even us, right?
And the field is so intuitive, right? For in my experience, if I have to work with someone or with a certain modality, it's gonna be in my face, or the thing that I need to solve within me, or a relationship that doesn't have a closure yet, it's going to keep coming up until you keep looking at it.
Into that person, or they keep showing up on your feed or whatever.
Let's just sit with it. It's so much easier to like be with it and let it unfold than to hold it. Yeah. You're going to have a lot more energy for the things that you want to do.
Yeah.
To create.
Yeah. Well said.
And play.
Yeah. And play, right? Mm-hmm. And the power of playfulness. That's another great one, is like just realizing we've all but lost that in our culture, and the idea that we're supposed to just work and be in the rat race. And so I think that the power of play, I definitely admit that. And for me, you know, having a handful of kids, that's one way I get it. And that's great. And I also acknowledge that, you know, there's a difference between me playing with my kids and letting that inner Jesse come out, little Jesse, as opposed to like doing something that's fully for me. So I think that's another piece of wisdom, as parents, we really have to balance that time with kids is amazing and sacred and it counts. And we still have to find, what is that thing that is just for me that I really love, right? To keep the pleasure and the passions alive.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. Then the play with your kids also becomes easier, or you invite them into your play. You know, I recently started learning to fire dance.
Wow.
And my boys love it.
Uh-huh.
Like it's...
I think mom's cool now.
Yeah. They're like, let's go to Burning Man, mom. Oh.
They're ready for that.
But it's like inviting them into our play, because it's actually really beautiful to have them witness what we love. Like it's so separate still in our worlds, their play and my play.
No, that's awesome. And like to see you guys, that like, brings the bond closer, right?
Yes.
No, I love those boys. I'm just sitting here reflecting, Isabel, on this point of like how far you've come in your path and what you've had to face. And I think one of my favorite things that you've shared with me today is just that, like, you're like, I don't really do any marketing. Like, I just trust and let it happen. And I think that takes so much courage and so much faith. And so many of us are convinced, like, we've got to follow some blueprint or marketing strategy or get X amount of likes or whatever it is in order to make it. And I know you have a great following, so I know that comes with it, but it's more appreciating where you're coming from to just say, no, like, I'm just going to be me and let that happen. You know,
yeah.
To me, that's definitely like leading with heart is the head and the mind is the one that wants to try to talk you into or out of something, and your heart and your body always just know right away, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited. I can't wait till your book is ready. No rush, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing. And I would love it if you could just tell the viewers, if they want to keep in touch with you, what's the easiest way for them to stay connected to the golden universe that you live in?
The golden universe. I share a lot of my wisdom on Instagram, and my Instagram is isabelgold__. My website has all my offerings. It's isabelgold.co. And you can find retreats that are coming up, the course that is available, and a way to connect to me one-on-one.
Yeah. Well, please do keep in touch with Isabel, absolutely amazing woman and healer. Cannot thank you enough for coming on the show today and sharing your vulnerability, your lotuses, your wisdom. Is there anything you want to say in a closing comment? You feel complete?
I'm just very grateful to be here. And my inner child is very happy to play with your inner child. And I just like want to see more of that in the world, where we can all just have fun.
We need a collective awakening of the inner children.
It's happening.
You know, it is happening. Yeah, it is happening. So keep connected with us here on Lead with Heart. There's going to be plenty more amazing episodes tuning into authenticity, vulnerability, and a greater sense of awakening in leadership. So thanks so much. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. Create a beautiful day, everyone.